Hey everybody, welcome to the Morphin Grid. I am Josh.
And I am Jake.
And today we're watching episode 450, Power Rangers Wild Force, episode 32, Monitoring Earth.
It aired September 28th, 2002, written by Catherine Torpy, directed by Taro Sakamoto. She's got one to go. It's this one and the next one.
In this stretch. Does she come back at all in the rest of the season? There's like 8 episodes left after this, I think.
Yeah, she co-writes the first part of the finale.
Okay.
But it's with Jill Donnellan. So.
Uh-oh. Hope you're ready for some Deer Song.
Oh, probably. Okay. Anyway, if you're new here, what we do is we pause the recording. We go watch an episode of Power Rangers. We come back and we talk about it. You can follow along if you got Netflix or the DVDs, and you should. And I don't have any Baby Yoda jokes to make this time, so you want to just go watch the episode?
Yeah.
All right.
Wild time.
And we're back, and we just watched Monitoring Earth. Might leave that tiny burp in. I thought it was going to be something, and then it's just like a... So Monitoring Earth has a lot of weird mixed messages.
Yeah, the bad guys are right and the good guys are wrong, and I don't know how I feel about that.
Yeah, I guess we'll talk about it in a minute. It's really weird. It's a really weird episode. HeyJakeAndJosh.com, that's a website. You can go listen to old episodes there. The bonus episodes from all the past seasons, well, most of the past. I don't know if the Turbo bonus and Up are in the bonus episodes yet.
I can't remember if Turbo is or not.
I don't know, but
I don't remember if I had to do Turbo still or if I had to do In Space.
I know you still need to put regular In Space Up. Or no, In Space is up.
But I know for sure the bonus episodes from In Space I don't think are.
Yeah, I don't think the Turbo ones are either. But so that's where the bonus episodes live. If you want to go to the classic feed, you're like, where are these other episodes you talk about? They're only on the website. They're website exclusives. We gotta get those clicks on the websites.
Gotta click it. You love to click it.
And go to heyjakeandjosh.com to click it. You can also go to find our classic feeds, Morphin Grid, the classics, volume 1 and 2, up through Turbo right now. In Space will pop on there sooner than later, probably when betwixt holidays, when things are slowing down.
Yeah, my new availability kicks in, so hopefully motivation follows that.
Get those 3 days off a week. That's the stuff.
Oh, I can't wait. I have an actual day off with Latasha every week now. It's really nice.
Hot damn.
We went to the movies this weekend. It was just a good time.
Nice. So if you want to go to those, listen to old episodes, go there. You can email us at littleidiots.morphingrid@gmail.com. We're on Twitter at morphingrid. We're on Black Twig Podcasts. We're on Google Play, Podknife, PodBay, PodBayB, PodBoomer. I hate that one.
Don't go to PodBoomer.
Don't go to PodBoomer. It's just stuff my dad would listen to, and you don't want to do that.
It's just podcasts about Applebee's and bar soap
and napkins
and napkins and toxic masculinity.
Yeah. That's it. Those are the four subjects. Not even rabbits is on PodBoomer, and they'll be on anything. So if you want to leave us a rating review, please go to any of those places and do that. It helps the show out. Helps people find the show. You know the deal with reviews. We're also on Patreon. Patreon.com/HeyJakeAndJosh. For a dollar a month, you get some cool stuff in return. You get Ted Dutton and Jillian Fighters from Beverly Hills review episodes. You get those are very loosely review. We talk about the show, but also we talk about Tech Decks and Cat in the Hat Hats and, you know, all kinds of things. You can also get early episodes, and there's some bonus episodes, and starting next year in January we're gonna do like a bonus episode a month, like consistently. It is my goal for 2020, but it's gonna kind of be a smorgasbord grab bag. Just reach in and grab out a handful of smorgas.
Get the Schmorgas on your board. It's time to go.
It's time for... So, in February... I'll give you a little preview of what February's bonus episode is going to be. A Sonic the Hedgehog movie review. No way it will not be. So, if you want to listen to those are going to be only on patreon.com/heyjakeandjosh. Speaking of patrons, Josh, we got a couple new ones.
All right.
So, this... I don't know if we have thanked this person, because I don't remember thanking them...
I think it's how we start off this segment every single time.
Yeah, well, I mean, we forgot to do it for a minute. We haven't had any new patrons for a little while, but someone edited their pledge, and I was like, I don't remember ever reading that name before. So, Luis O is a patron.
Oh, thanks, Luis.
This is a name, Grumpy Oscar Noodle. It's all one word, and I had to figure out where the spaces were supposed to be.
Thank you, Grumpy Oscar Noodle.
And finally, newest patron, Robin L.
All right. Thank you, Robin.
Thank you all very much for helping support the show and letting us, you know, do this stupid thing that we keep doing. I mean, we'd be here either way, but we'd appreciate it. Yeah,
we would be doing it even if it was just to talk to each other.
And we have before. I was thinking about this the other day, is I can count on one hand the amount of people that listen to us in our first month, and I don't think I need all my fingers. I think it was four people, and one of them is Sky Ertle, who we're, like, pretty good friends with now. We have a couple emails. Actually, before we do emails, Josh, we got any new reviews?
We do. We've got one.
Hot dog.
Dropped onto Apple Podcasts on November 17th, 2019.
Ooh, recent.
It is by user Robbie the Rat.
Okay.
It's for 5 stars, and it's titled, yeah, Had to Be Really Sure.
Okay.
And they say, several months ago, I stumbled upon the Morphin Grid and liked the first episode quite a bit, but figured I need at least another 400 or so episodes to really know how I felt. Turns out, yeah, pretty good. That's the review.
That's it. Oh, beautiful. Thank you, Robbie the Rat.
Here's the thing. I want to pose another challenge. We're at 83 ratings and reviews.
Okay.
My birthday is in, like, a little under 3 months from now.
Right.
I want to get 100 for my birthday.
Okay, so February 10th.
February 10th. I want 100 reviews by the time I'm 34.
All right. Everybody, if you haven't, dust off your iTunes name and find a way to log back into it.
If you listen to us on the podcast app, I think you can just do it there.
Oh, I think so.
So that would be easier than trying to remember what your password is or having to reset it or whatever.
Yeah, make a new one like you had to do.
Multiple times. It keeps telling me to log back into iCloud, and I'm like, I can't. Why do you keep kicking me out?
Mine's like, hey, your iCloud's full. And I was like, that's weird. I don't think I've ever used it. Apparently my phone is like, I'm just going to save some stuff. So I had to get a new one. It was all right there. But it's still like, hey, log in. And I was like, but you know how to get there. If my phone was saved there, do it yourself. Computer. But thank you very much, Robbie. That was a very funny review. Very much appreciate it. Speaking of Luis, we got an email. It's from November 18th. Subject is My Last Stand. Uh-oh. Okay, no. I was like,
are they dragging us?
No, we'll find out. I don't pre-screen these. I probably should, but I don't. Louis says, hey, Jake and Josh, I put this off for too long, so you probably already recorded it, but episode 27 of Wild Force was the first episode of Power Rangers that I did not watch in my known memory. After the Master's Last Stand, Wild Force moved to ABC, and I was unaware of this, and 11-year-old me resigned to the fact that Power Rangers was gone forever. I had been watching since Mighty Morphin, and as far as I'm aware, I'd been watching the show since before I had human consciousness. Fair. I know I started, I was like barely four when it started. And so I was watching it basically like from episode 2 or 6, whichever Pudgy Pig aired on. I don't remember if it aired second or was made second. I think it aired second because it was such a good episode, they had to put it second.
Right.
So I was watching since then. So, like, yeah, shout out to the watching Power Rangers from the moment you have object permanence.
I'm a boomer, so I
yeah, you're an old man now.
I was like six or seven when it came on.
Yeah.
So I was in second grade. Then I have one other memory of second grade, and it's I definitely got caught cheating on a test.
Do you remember what the test was about?
No, I don't. It was probably like phonics or something.
Do you remember phonics?
But my friend finished his and gave me his test, and I just because we had those desks that were like there was like the flat top, and then it was just a cubby underneath that you put all your books in, and so I just like held it under that and was like looking at it and just copying the answers down, and oh my god, would you believe I got caught?
I don't know. It seems like a foolproof plan, Josh.
That's everything that happened to me in second grade. That and Power Rangers was on.
TV. Nice. Good year. Elise goes on to say, after we got DirecTV, I soon rediscovered the show with Dino Thunder, and I loved it. I watched some of SPD and Mystic Force, but wasn't too attached to them. A friend and I watched Samurai when we were at MIT for the nostalgia of MIT. Wow, so many smart. Everyone who listens to this is way smarter than us.
I was in community college for like 8 years.
I went to a film school that called itself a university, but definitely only did that for tax purposes, I think. And even though the acting was rough, I still thought it was pretty fun. I watched through Dino Charge all the way, and when Ranger Ginger was covering it, I honestly think it's one of the best seasons Power Rangers ever done, and I can't wait until you get there. Yeah, me too. Pretty stoked about – a lot of people like Dino Charge, and I'm pretty excited to watch it. I love listening to you guys being Goose, and you guys make me laugh out loud. Keep up the good work. I listen to PWT, PWTU, and I'm working my way through CKT. Shout out to Alan Shannon for being awesome, too. I'm glad I finally stopped being double invisible to send you this email. Well, thank you very much, Luis. I'm also very glad you stopped being double invisible because it doesn't make any sense. But yeah, thank you very much. Welcome aboard. I don't know how long you've been listening, but welcome aboard. Also, those other podcasts you should definitely check out, because if you like us, you might like us. We got one more email from Eric. And okay, we don't do last names on the show. We don't like do that. But I'm gonna do this one because Eric's real Christian name is Eric Myers.
Okay. Like, I mean, if you think about it, that's not like an uncommon name. Myers is a relatively common last name, at least in my experience.
It's just what's it like having the exact name as a Power Ranger?
Well, I can tell you what it's like to have the exact name as Josh from Drake and Josh.
Oh yeah, what's that like?
A lot of people go, where have I heard your name before? And then I tell them and they're like, oh yeah.
That's it?
That's it.
When we were doing Let's Plays YouTube videos, which you can still go watch. I don't think Nintendo will give us any money anymore, but you can go check out youtube.com/HeyJakeAndJosh. Several people were like, I thought this was Drake and Josh doing this Let's Plays. And I was like, well, I'm sorry.
Sorry we disappointed
it's
you.
It's just us.
It's just these idiots.
Eric says, hey guys, in the last 3 months, I have gone from the middle of In Space to catching up to both the show and the podcast, and here is my first headcanon. Hot dog. As someone who lives in the Pacific Northwest, I also feel like Turtle Cove is a Seattle or Portland stand-in. So why Silver Guardians? That's a good question. Why are they so far north? We know that Taylor has been fighting orcs for over a year, but they didn't grow giant until all the Rangers were together, making the monsters public. This would prompt the city council to hire the only organization known to have experience with monsters, the Silver Guardians. That makes sense.
Can you imagine what it would be like to live in a world where a giant monster is like everyone's adjusted to that?
Where like, and it's not even like the same city all the time anymore. Like for like 7 years, it was just Angel Grove. But now it could be right. Anywhere could have a monster problem, and they're just like, well...
anywhere on the West Coast.
Yeah. I can't wait until, like, Boston gets, like freaking Dorchester gets a monster problem, and everyone just starts throwing rocks at it. Like, get out of here. That's why there's none on the East Coast, is because we're all much rowdier over there. Guardians would be given temporary authority in the Turtle Cove limits, giving them permission to write tickets after Eric and Wes... go to the city and say that they are not needed because there are rangers in the city. They leave. Yeah, that makes sense. P.S. I have other headcans, but mostly for old seasons. Let me know if you want them.
Yes.
Yes, send them in. Everybody send in your headcanons. Maybe we need bonus episode ideas for the next season. So
I don't think we've come up with any like deep headcanons in a minute.
Yeah, no. Nothing.
Not since Carter and Ryan are dating. I think that's the last big one.
I mean, that's basically text, though. So, but thank you very much for the email, Eric. That's all we got for emails and stuff. But I do think that makes sense that if there's an organization that used to deal with monsters somewhere and now there's monsters somewhere else, that they would like give them a call.
Yeah.
And since they were like for hire, like, you know,
yeah,
it would be easy to get them on the phone, I guess. So do you want to jump in? Do you want to talk about this episode?
I do. I actually really do.
Okay, good. Me too. We start off on Mandalok, who's watching Kite on, like, a hologram, and he's watching Kite, like, stop the Zords and get them to stop being possessed and brainwashed by the Lion Tamer. And he's like, we gotta get that boy. That boy's probably wicked powerful. We need to get that boy on our side. And they're like, yeah, okay, that makes sense. Let's try to get this little boy on our side. Mandalok, you're in charge here. So we cut from there to the Power Rangers on the Animarium, and they ask Princess Shayla where Kite is, and she's like, he's watching that box that makes sounds in pictures.
And boomer then, ass Shayla.
Well, Shayla's a little frustrating this episode.
Shayla's been frustrating for, what are we on, episode 40? No, 32?
32.
So for like maybe... I'll give her the benefit of the doubt and say 28 episodes
total. She's been, yeah,
pretty frustrating.
She's like, yeah, he's looking at that weird box that glows.
He's on the talking box.
He's on that box that talks to people. And Max's like, oh, my old TV. And it's weird that he would say my old TV.
Did he move all his stuff here?
Did he move all his stuff here and forget where he put it? And then Kite just found a working television?
He's
did
just
he
a kid.
Cable up here?
What about his family?
Right? His only family was Dom the Bowling Man, and he abandoned him.
Was he an orphan and Shayla just walked into the... Just, like, pranced into the orphanage one day and, like... sang her song and they were like, please take a child and go.
Well, no, because she was asleep.
Oh, so, you're right. She woke up when Taylor was there, didn't she?
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, he was like six months
later.
So
Taylor and Shayla walk in and they're like, we're two moms and we're looking for a child.
We're looking for a boy. And they were like, well, this one, he's nine but refuses to admit that, so take him away from us. So Kite's watching the news, a terrible activity. Nowadays, it was probably better back then, but according to this news, not much. And this is 2002. Probably news was also bad then.
Probably. It was a little more, it's only a year past 9/11, so it's like a little more patriotic and unifying, yeah, than literally just trying to split the country into two halves.
Yeah. Cool. Love the news. Love to have it. So Rangers are like, hey, what are you doing? He's watching this news story about an oil spill that's like the 15th one today. This specific oil spill puts a type of sea lion on the endangered species list. And it's like just a lot of very upsetting stock footage of, like, you know, oil spill and all that.
Right.
And he gets so mad. He's like, humans are ruining the earth. Why is everyone the worst? Why are they ruining the earth so bad? And then Cole
makes a point, which is right.
It is, but it's not good. It still sucks.
Yeah.
Because Cole's like, you know, this kind of thing just happens. This comes with progress.
Yeah, he says people are not actively trying to ruin the planet. Asterisk in 2019, they definitely are.
They defo are. Well, I mean, big corporations have always been trying to ruin the planet for money.
Right, but they were less forward about it.
Yeah. Now they weren't like trying to make that like a point of pride. Like, oh, we put so much toxic sewage in the water. It drives me buggy. But yeah, he's like, yeah, it comes with progress. And Cole's like, or Kite's like, I don't give a shit. Like, people are destroying the planet. That sucks. And Taylor grabs him by the shoulders, spins him around, and yells at him and says, kids shouldn't be thinking about that or talking about that.
She like shakes him by his shoulders and is like, you shut up.
You shut up right now about oil spills.
Kids shouldn't talk about important issues.
Go think about dinosaurs like a kid would.
Which is super weird because I know Taylor is supposed to be this like harsh, like hard-edged,
like no-nonsense,
no-nonsense person, but she's not just a bitch.
No, and like especially around kids, like her first spotlight episode is like, look at how she is really good at engaging with kids on their level.
Except she just hates kites specifically.
Well, she's not wrong for it, but it's such a weird thing to be like, because like if you look at like. And like again, this is just today is November something 2019, right? So if you're listening to this in the far flung future where we fixed something, just this is the time we're dealing with, is like kids today are like, hey, we're not gonna have a planet if you keep like actively drilling holes into it and blowing it up. And everyone's like, shut up, you're a kid, you don't know anything. And then Greta Thunberg is like, actually, I do know something, and I shouldn't have to think about this, but you have so clearly failed that I have to. And Kite's just doing that, but Taylor, instead of being like, hey, like, I hate that you have to worry about this, she's like, shut up.
Go play with your Hot Wheels.
Go get a Hot Wheel. Some Hot Wheel collector replied to one of my, like, two-year-old Hot Wheels tweets.
Oh, God.
Anyway, it's really weird that Taylor, like, is so mad at a kid for, like, I don't know, worrying about the planet.
Caring about Earth in any way.
And he specifically says, like, Power Rangers are supposed to protect the Earth, but the people here are the ones destroying it, and then, like, runs off. And they're like, we need to go get him. And Taylor's like, he'll get over it. He'll be fine.
Cole, like, chases him a little bit, and Alyssa is in the background and a little out of focus, but you can tell she's, like, staring daggers through Taylor. She's like, you didn't have to yell at him.
Yeah, and they're all like, we need to go find him. And Taylor's like, I'll stay here. Because she's like immediately remorseful about having yelled at this boy for something that, like, isn't even her fault. Like, if she ruined the planet and he was like, that sucks. And she was like, hey, shut up. It was an accident. But it wasn't. It's just like, this. It's so weird. I don't know what they're trying to do with this episode.
I don't. This is what I mean by, like, the good guys are the bad guys in this one.
Yeah, and then, like, later, the orgs will just basically be like, hey, here's the truth. and then we're supposed to be like, ah, no, don't say that. So Taylor's like, I'll stay here. So they go off to find him, and we get some shots of the Rangers looking through some classic kids' play. There's, like a go-kart park, and there's, like, a... like some sort of outside Chuck E. Cheese and a construction site. Just like places kids love to hang out.
I feel like Danny was like in a school cafeteria.
I thought he was like, he was like at recess with some kids.
He's like, maybe he went to school. Kids love that maybe.
If it wasn't a cafeteria, he walked through a kid's birthday party. Alyssa goes to a construction site.
That's where they first found him.
He loves them. He loves to be there.
At least Alyssa's making sense.
Right? And then Cole is somewhere. He meets up with her outside of the construction site, and then they just stop looking for him. We cut back to Taylor. She's just pacing around. Like, he'll come back. It's lunchtime. He hasn't eaten, so he's going to be hungry. He'll come back. And she's, like, really worried, and, like, her mom senses are, like, all firing up. And you can tell she's like, I really shouldn't have yelled at a boy over something that stupid. And then she's just pacing back and forth. And we cut to Kite walking along a beach with just some really upsetting stock footage of, like, beached fish and trash and, like, factories just pumping out smoke and, like, a lot of just, like, terrible images. And it's like, okay, this episode of Power Rangers, why are you going so hard in the paint?
This is a very special episode of Power Rangers Wild Force.
Is Earth Day in September? I thought it was in April.
You're asking the wrong guy.
Look, all I know is that I used to know when it was because Boomerang would play a Captain Planet marathon, but I don't have Boomerang anymore. so I don't know what Earth Day is. He says like humans made all this trash in just 3,000 years.
Yeah, he's walking through this like it's like an energy plant or something.
It's like a back alley behind a plant, but there's just a bunch of trash in it.
But it's just also a trash dump. There's a car in there.
Yeah, someone ditched a car. They're like, this is, you know, in just 3,000 years. And buddy, no. It's been maybe 100 years that we made all this trash. Like, we hit a point where we were like, we can make trash really quick. We should do that now. And then Mandalok and the Dukes step out. And they're like, ha, there you are.
Yeah, they're kind of like, you ain't seen nothing yet. You think this is a lot of trash?
Then we cut to Willy's. Melissa and Cole are talking to Merrick. Or as my autocorrect loves doing, they y'all to Merrick. Because they don't think that talk is a word anymore. And they replace it with y'all. And if there's an apostrophe in a word, you can't just like backspace. And I'm like, sorry, you can go back to the word you were typing. It's like, no, we've completely erased that from our mind. You only meant y'all. So I left it in.
See what happens if you start saying something as a joke?
I know. Dang it, Shell. Got me delusional. They're like, yeah, he's a kid and he's running around in trash. Who knows what he's doing? And Merrick's like, he's not like regular kids. He's different. And they're like, well, yeah, he has magic powers. That's pretty different. And he's like, I feel like I should know him. And then we get the most confusing shot of the episode.
Well, also, while they're just talking, because Alyssa and Cole are like sitting on bar stools, Merrick is shooting pool.
Drinking a nice Dr. Pibb.
Yeah. He definitely hits a ball that is absolutely not the cue ball.
No, he's playing like when you're a kid and there's a pool table and you're like, I'm just going to hit whatever ball I want.
Right. You just have to hit one. You hit one ball into another ball into a hole. That's easy. Yeah. I can do that.
Anyone can do that. So Merrick, not great at the... He only knows the one trick, I guess. He doesn't know the bare rules of the ancient king sport of billiards.
He knows two tricks now. He knows Willie's secret jump shot.
You're right. He does know the jump shot. So then we get this weird shot where, like, he's about to hit a red ball, and it zooms into the red ball, and then that is a trash wasteland.
Yeah, it's Power Rangers trying to do, like, an artsy cut.
Yeah, and it made me think was that, is Kite trapped in a pool ball now?
All of our trash is just inside this pool ball.
We should just put all our trash in pool balls and then play the king's sport of billiards with them. So we're on this big trash wasteland. And Mandalok's like, look at all this trash. Humans made this. You gave them the earth and you're like, hey, do whatever you want. And all they did was make trash. And if they don't need something, they immediately just throw it away. If it's like, if it outlives its use by 1 second, they throw it in the garbage. And Mandalok is not saying anything incorrect at this point.
He even says, like, orgs are born from this.
Yeah.
Like, they made us.
Humans made orgs by making trash. And, like, wow. Okay. I like that a lot. I wish maybe that would have popped up, like, earlier.
Yeah, I mean, we've definitely seen orgs 3,000 years ago, born out of mud puddles.
Yeah, is that like, that was 3,000-year-old trash, and someone's maybe, like, hey, I have this gross mud, we'll put it on the ground over there.
Or they just, like, went to the bathroom there.
Yeah, and Master Orgs made out of poop.
He's a big poop monster.
You know? It makes sense. Think about it. So then he's like, look, there's an orgs getting made right now out of this trash. And it just, a spirit swirls around and like goes down and stands up out of this trash. And it stands up and is like, oh, Rangers.
Yes, I am ready to fight you.
And it is just straight up.
That was
up,
more Arnold. I can't do Goldar anymore, I don't know. I guess.
Can you do Finster again yet? Or is that just gone forever?
I'm too afraid to try.
Yeah, but it's trash Goldar. And it's actually just Goldar's voice. I didn't look it up. But
it's got to be.
I've heard Goldar's voice enough that I know what Goldar sound like. So this is trash Goldar. And we cut from there to a woman doing computer work. She's hacking a spreadsheet or something. And then it stops working. And she's like, hey, it's not working. It turns on. Was like, my computer doesn't work. And then an eye pops up on the monitor and sucks her into the computer, and then all of her coworkers also get sucked into their computers.
I don't want to keep comparing newer seasons to like the first season, Right. I feel like it's coming up a lot.
Yeah, well, I mean, this season is the 10th season, so, like, if you're going to compare it, I feel like this is the one to do.
And it's got Goldar voice in it, so you're just thinking, like, season one and two. And, like, this monster's power is very season one of just, I'm going to trap you in a computer, and then you're stuck there.
Yeah, got him.
And I feel like the absence of non-Ranger characters that we care about is very apparent in times like this.
Because, like, if Bulk and Skull would have gotten sucked into a computer, or Ernie, we'd be like, no, we like them.
Right.
That's Miss Appleby. That's their teacher.
She sucked into the TV on that weird cart because it was teacher has a hangover day today.
When I learned that that's what video days were, everything shattered. But yeah, but like here are the non-Ranger people we know on this show that I can think of, not including Kite or Princess Shayla, Willie, Dawn, Kendall, Brad Burt.
But like Dawn and Brad Burt are only like one-offs in an episode. They're not like characters. Kendall was in two episodes and could have been a very good character, but instead, nah.
Yeah. I don't think. Oh, and then the other Claire, the farmer girl.
Oh yeah.
Claire and John Johnson.
See,
and Mom.
All these people could be like the Power Rangers' friends.
Like, reoccurring. Yeah.
I just like the idea of the Rangers having lives outside of Power Ranging.
Yeah, and this season,
like Alyssa goes to college, and you're telling me she doesn't have any other friends?
Right, her only friends are a legally dead ex-Air Force pilot, a man who came from the literal jungle, a baby, and a 15-year-old who's saying he's not a baby, and then a magic princess from 3,000 years ago.
Right.
That seems a little far-fetched. So then we cut from this computer workroom to a fully packed soccer stadium where like, some kids are
it's
playing.
It's like a puppy league soccer game.
They're like nine. Maybe.
It's barely competitive. Like, one kid just gets the ball kicked into his chest and is like, oof.
This should be on, like, a field outside of a school.
Yeah, with nobody but parents of the children playing.
Yeah, and like maybe some, like, neighbors or whoever's bored on Saturday.
The people who live in the neighborhood.
Yeah. This is like a fully packed soccer stadium. What? Okay. But then a big Simon Says Eye of Sauron pops up on the big screen on the Titantron. And it sucks everybody in too. And then the pool does a squirt. And they're like, there's an org, we gotta go. So all the Rangers morph and they get to the stadium. And
yeah, Taylor's like, call the others. And before she can finish saying that, it starts to like cut her off to the others.
To the others morphing. And yeah. They immediately all morph. And so they get to the stadium. Everybody's trapped in the monitors. We see them like banging on the big screen. There's a guy in a suit and there's like a kid in the background. And it's very 2002. And then the orgs come in and they're like, we'd like to introduce you to our new best friend, Kite. And they're like, oh, what? Kite, you need to get away from them. They're monsters. Come on, man. And he's like, no. And they're like, why would he want to leave us? We're telling him the truth. And we don't want to destroy the earth with pollution.
We just want to destroy it regular style.
Yeah, but also with pollution because that's how you make ore.
Because they are made out of trash.
Yeah, and this one eats trash. Mandalak eats trash? That's actually kind of a good guy move, right?
Yeah. But he only eats the freshest trash.
You're right. You're 100 years too late to get the best, freshest trash. So Taylor's like, okay, he's an idiot because he's so young. He doesn't know what he's doing. And she just jumps in to save him. And Trash Goldar attacks. And then they start fighting.
He's Monitor Org. And I guess like his midsection is a bunch of screens. Which I didn't realize right away, but
like
his
a TV
head,
bank, yeah.
His head is like a wall-mounted air conditioner with like a big speaker, like a big old stereo speaker on the side of it.
Yeah, it's like a really long, like at best, a very long CD player, like a weird boombox.
So I don't know. He's just an amalgamation of techno trash.
It's just trash Goldar. You're not fooling us. So I looked away because I got bored. Because the fight was happening, and sometimes I'm like, yeah, I'm just going to check Twitter real quick. And I look up and a car is flying at Kite, and I was like, okay. Who threw the car at Kite?
Who did throw the car at Kite?
Because it comes from the power, because the power is like, no, Kite. But he's on the opposite side of them.
It must have been Trash Goldar, like, did something, and the Rangers dodged it, I think.
Okay, because the car is like SUV.
God, I don't remember where that stinking car came from.
The car comes out of nowhere. And so we go to commercial. This is about to, like, you know, murder a boy. And we come back and it stopped. And the camera comes around and Kite's just, like, touching the roof of the car.
He's palmed it.
He's like, no, you will not kill me with this car today. And he throws the car back. And I was like, aha, he's coming back to the Power Rangers. Nope, he threw it at the Power Rangers. So yeah. That happened, and he's really mad, and then so the Rangers shoot Trash Goldar, like Merrick gets knocked down from the car being thrown at them, and Trash Goldar's like, now's my time to kill you, and so he runs up, and Merrick's like, pull Q, sniper mode, and shoots him, and then Cole pulls out his gun, and they shoot him, and then they do a salad slash lunar break, and then they kill him. And everyone gets shot out of the TVs, and they land where they were. And I was like, oh, good, we can watch soccer again. Thank God. This incredibly competitive match between a bunch of nine-year-olds.
I don't even know what team they're on. They're just kicking it to whoever.
Yeah, well, yeah, this red team and blue team, and, you know, just hope for the best. And then, so there's a puddle of foam on the ground. Mandalock runs up and says, Toxica, make my monster grow.
What a callback.
Because it's Goldar. Because it's Goldar voice. So they're making Goldar grow. I like that. So they call their Zords down. And do you remember like 4 or 5 episodes ago when Kite could telepathically stop the Zords from being called?
Did he stop them from being called? He did because of the like gravestone.
The statues, yeah. Why didn't he just do that again?
Because he's so mad.
Oh, you're right. When you're mad, you don't think straight, especially when your brain is so small from being a little boy.
Well, he's 3,000 years old. I think he's a Yoda. So.
Oh, he's a baby Yoba. I guess he'd be a regular. Or he'd be like an old Yoba.
He's a preteen.
Finally. He's hit 11 3, 000, in Yoba
after
years.
After 3,000 years, he's free.
So Merrick is like, I gotta, they call the Zords, they get the Megazord, they jump in there. Merrick's on the ground still like, I gotta get through to him. So he runs up to Kite, and Kite's like, no, throws him away.
Yeah, he runs up and puts his hand on Kite's shoulder, and Kite is like, unhand me at once, Merrick.
And it's still this little boy, and he's doing his best. But he's still this little boy.
Right.
And I'm like, all right, you're using like weird grammar. Like weird ancient person grammar to try to sell it. All right, I like that. So he gets thrown, and then the Power Rangers are like, all right, Trash Goldar, we're going to kill you. And Trash Goldar's like, you can't hurt me. I'm garbage. And you know what? Mood.
Oh.
Then he makes a bunch of copies of himself. And Max is like, this is impossible. It's like, well, Max, he is a monster made out of trash. I think possible and impossible are kind of fluid at this point. And so there's like 60 there's like 4 copies, but each copy has that like 70s music video trail of them behind
it. Like when you win a game of solitaire.
Yeah. Just bounce around. It's like that. And so they do the soul cannon, which is a thing that I forgot they had. And it blasts all of them away. And I thought it was, he's like, ah, you killed my copies, but not me, because you can't hurt me, I'm trash. But no, he just like kibitzes around for a minute, and then he dies.
Yeah, he's dying, and like little sparks and explosions are going off like all over his body. And he's like shorting out, like his voice is doing like weird, like,
yeah, it's getting like high pitched and stuff, yeah.
And then he's like, what's that tickle? And he falls down and explodes.
That's ghoulish. This is just a little grim.
But then a little buggy flies out and lands on the Megazord.
Then a little bug shoots out and it has like a USB and it plugs into the Megazord.
I'm jacking in.
It jacks in under its rib cage where you would put a USB port if you had a Megazord, I guess. And then Mandalok just has his big DirecTV remote and he's like, now I can control the Megazord. And Kite's like, okay.
The coolest thing about a DirecTV remote is that you don't even have to point it at the box. You can point it anywhere.
That's true.
It's connected through Bluetooth or something.
Whatever frequency it uses can cut through the DVDs you have stacked up in front of it. Or whatever.
It's not infrared. That's the takeaway here.
Yeah. It's infragreen. And it's really good. It's the best one. So then Mandalok's like, now that we have the Megazord under control, and then kneels to Kite and is like, you should tell us who you really are. And so Kite starts walking forward and the Ranger's like, well, because they've been knocked out of the Megazord at this point. And they're like, whoa, what? And Kite starts walking and it turns out that he is Jesus. And he starts doing a float with his arms out.
But you can see where the wires are under his clothes because it's pulling it up to like here, up to his ears.
It's like he's drowning in his jacket. And then, so we'll get shots of him floating, like he's in like a Louis Anderson in the snowsuit. And then we'll get a shot of like a close up on his face where he's just regular because, like, oh, he's in the sky. And he like floats around. And it's a far shot of him like dangling by wires.
And then he breaks into five pieces.
Yeah, he blows up into five lights, and those lights are the weird old wild Zords that turn into Animus. And Kite is Animus.
Animus's codpiece is very dangerous. Because the horns it. From whatever like bulb Zord that is.
Yeah.
Go all the way up at least to the chest area. They're huge.
They're nipple rests.
Oh, my nipples up. Oh,
that is dangerous. You can't, like, reach down for anything.
No, because you'll impale yourself on your cod horns.
So he's like, Mandalok is like, yeah, now we got the Megazord and Animus on our side. Animus is like, shut up, dork. I don't work for orcs or humans. Because humans were supposed to protect it, the wild swords protect the earth, and the humans are supposed to help, but then they don't, so fuck everybody.
Yeah.
Taking my ball and going home.
At some point, I don't remember if it's as Kite or as Animus, but he tells the Rangers, it might be actually what's coming up in a minute, but he tells them, like, you're supposed to defend the earth, but you're not killing the humans, so... I think that's what's gonna happen in a minute.
Yeah, because he basically just turns back into the Mandalok's like, all right, well then I'm gonna kill you with the Megazord. And so the Megazord stands up and goes to punch Animus. And it was point blank shoots an arrow at the Megazord. And they're like, who's gonna blow up the Megazord? But just hit the bug. And then the orcs are like, well, we're gonna go then.
We're gonna go, or you're just gonna cut us.
And then they teleport
away with your big saw shark sword.
Yeah, so they leave. And then Animus is like, you aren't worthy of the wild Zords. And he turns back into Kite. And he's like, I'm taking the Zords away because you're not doing the job.
The humans are destroying the earth and you're supposed to defend it. So until you start killing people, I'm taking your toys away.
Yeah.
And Taylor's like, wait, how are we supposed to fight the orgs without the Zords? Like, we need those to fight orgs. And Animus is just like, not my problem.
He's like, I already retired. I don't care. And then they're like, oh, man, we let Jesus down. They're all bummed about how they let Animus down. But they weren't listening to Animus when he's like, no, you pretty much got to kill people too now.
Yeah, this is the equivalent of, like, that Tetris bot that, like, they built, like, this learning AI that, like, taught itself how to play Tetris. But it gets to the point where when it decides it can't win, instead of losing, it pauses the game.
That is the boomerest move.
But this is like, humans are destroying the planet. I'm gonna take away these things so that orgs do it instead. Like, yeah. It's like You're saying you care about Earth, but you really don't. You're just a piss baby.
Yeah, like, so here's, this is the weird part, right? Cause, and the episode's basically done. We'll talk about the end part, because I feel like that we can't just, like, skim that, because it's so dumb. So, like, the weird thing is that Animus is a boomer, right? We talked about that, I think, last episode or the episode before that. And then, obviously, right now, he's like, I can't get exactly my way, so I'm going to take away all the means to do anything, and then whatever, because I don't care, right?
Right.
And that's a boomer move. But at the same time, he's like, protect the Earth, which boomers hate doing that. So, like, it's not a perfect analogy.
Right, they're always like, millennials are killing styrofoam, or whatever.
Yeah, oh, why can't I just throw plastic cups in the ocean anymore? Everyone gets so mad about it, and we're like, just recycle. And they're like, recycle is for p***s or something. And like, which, just real quick, like, every time like any sort of like legislation is put in place where they're like, hey, let's stop like ruining the planet, let's stop like just dumping oil on the ground, right? Things like that. Boomers are always like, oh, who cares? And everyone's like, well, you know, climate change is like wrecking the planet. And they're like, that's not real. It's like, okay, well, so let's say it's fake. Right. Let's just play on this field for a second. Let's say it's fake. And then we put these laws into action that like helps the planet. It's like, oh, I don't want to just save the planet for nothing. Right. like, what? It doesn't hurt you. Anyway, go drive your big diesel Hummer somewhere else. Drive it into a quarry or something. Anyway, so that's what's going on with Animus. I don't get it. I don't know what the message of this episode is.
Yeah, it starts off as like, don't pollute, or the
give
planet
a hoot, don't pollute,
or the planet will die. But then it's like, but also ignore the problem, just leave.
But yeah, but if they don't fix the problem exactly the way you want,
yeah,
screw everybody.
And adults will be mad at you for talking about it. That's the thing that's gonna happen.
Yeah, God, this is.
It's crazy, but I feel like stuff like this, because this kind of like anti-pollution, I mean, there's a whole cartoon about this.
Yeah.
Stuff like this is the reason why kids now are like, hey, cut the shit.
Yeah.
Like, you made media that taught me this is bad, but right? You are doing this actively.
That the utter hypocrisy of it is it's the same people who are like, kids shouldn't get participation trophies. Like, we didn't make the participation trophies. You did.
Yeah, you did that because, like, you were sad that your child didn't win anything.
Yeah, because your dumb kid wasn't good at soccer. And, like, a lot of us weren't. And I didn't need a trophy, but I got one, and it made me feel nice about how bad at soccer I was because I had short legs. It's just very frustrating. Old people are trying to destroy us. Anyway, before we get any farther down this sinkhole, we cut to Shayla. The wilders start disappearing. We cut to Shayla, and she stumbles out of the Animarium living room like she just woke up after a bender.
Right.
And she's like, whoa, what? Where am I? Who's the president?
Oh, don't ask. You don't want to know.
You know, you're better off. Then the elephant sword disappears. And right. I thought it was just going to be the elephant sword for a while.
I did too, because it takes, I think, 6 minutes of airtime of her staggering through not even like woods, just like a couple trees in a field.
It's like a park. Like, the Animarium's got like a park on it.
Yeah.
And she like stumbles through. She finally, we see the gorilla, we see the bear brothers. I don't know if we saw anybody else.
I don't remember. I don't think we did.
But she's like, oh, no, what? And then we get the return of the VO guy.
I hate this guy. Why are they doing this?
And he's like, and then Princess Shayla fell into a deep sleep because she can only be awake if the animals are around.
It's like, with the Zords gone, Princess Shayla, the guardian of the Zords, which, first of all, I don't think that's right.
No,
I don't think that's accurate.
Yeah.
Without anything to guardian, she will take, she go nap nap.
She just doesn't think she got a juice. She's going to go nap nap. And maybe she's going to be in that coma forever.
Yeah,
who knows?
Maybe
I'm the VO guy. Peace.
Maybe she's dead, actually. Until next time, Ranger fans.
And then the episode ends. Why do they keep doing this VO guy at us?
I don't know.
Like, I know this is a show for babies, but if we see Shayla pass out because all the guardians, all the wild zords are disappearing, like, maybe we'll think those two things are connected and just be okay with that.
Right. And then, like, at the beginning of the next episode, Taylor can be like, well, she told me when it was just me here.
Yeah, right.
That, like, the zords are, like, the source of her energy and why she doesn't have to sleep when she is awake.
Well, here's
does that
the
make
weird...
sense? Because I'm awake right now, but also I have to sleep.
I would love to sleep. Yeah, too. Here's the weird thing. So in episode, like, I think it was episode 3, when we first saw, like, the old guardians, and we saw them, like, secret Shayla away to the Animarium, and it came up from the ground. Like, the wild zords were protecting her. That's why they put those wild zords on the Animarium, to protect Shayla. Not the other way around.
I just don't know what Shayla's role in any of this is, because she doesn't seem to do anything.
She's the only one who can go, the pool squirted.
Right. Or sing that fucking song to the deer zord.
Who's going to tell me it's nice to wake up and come sing a song at a deer? Anyway, Josh.
Uh-huh.
You started. I get to pick the first best.
Yeah. You do that, because I don't know if I have one.
I'm digging real deep. I think the best is hearing Goldar voice again.
Yeah. The couple of seasons, the Goldar and the Make My Monster Grow.
Yeah, those were nice. Specifically, my favorite line is like, you can't hurt me, I'm garbage. Like, some of us, I need to put that on a t-shirt. Just be like...
You will make millions.
Oh, for sure.
I think if you could sell a million t-shirts for $1.
Yeah, I would make 1 million t-shirt bucks before taxes.
That's just big mood now. I'm garbage. Gotta love me. Or what?
We should make a whole line. We have a T-Public store. We can make this work. The worst is, boy, where do you start? I think the worst is the episode not knowing what it's trying to tell me.
Yeah, there's... It thinks there's a message there, and there could be, but there isn't, because they don't say anything, except pollution is bad. I guess the message is pollution is bad, but, like, I don't know, the bad guys are like, we didn't ask for this, the humans did it, and the humans are like, shut up, kid!
Shut up, kid.
We don't want to talk about it.
Don't worry about how the pollution got there. Sometimes it's just going to happen. Yeah, don't know. I think the worst is just like this episode's quote unquote moral.
It's written by someone who actually doesn't give a shit about pollution.
Or like, and even if I want to give old KT the benefit of the doubt, maybe she was like, this is the moral, that pollution is bad and that humans are doing it. And then someone's like, well, you can't make the humans look like the bad guys, so you have to make it a trick. And then she's like, okay, but you can't, because there's no other way to spin it. So,
yeah, I don't know what the, like, exit strategy for this is.
Right?
Like,
Rangers clean the planet and it's fine.
Yeah, they gather up all the trash and they throw it, they use the deer zord to throw it into the sun.
The deer zord hucks it into the sun.
Because, like, if that's not it, then eventually, because, like, I mean, it's Power Rangers. They're going to win at the end of this episode, at the end of the season, probably.
Yeah, right. Yeah,
because season is, like, completely different. It's not, like, Turbo into In Space.
Right. Yeah, they don't go to ninja school after this.
Yeah, so, like, either they fix all of pollution and every human being is fine, is, like, a good person, or Animus is like, actually, it doesn't bother me that much. I'm going to kill the monsters.
You know, like Taylor said, it was lunchtime and I hadn't eaten yet.
Right. I was hangry.
You're just a little hangry. MVP, I'm going to say, is Mandalok?
Kind of. Because he makes the best points.
Yeah. So I think it's got to be Mandalok. Runner-up would be Alyssa for being like, Taylor, don't yell at the little boy. And then be like, well, he loves construction sites. Let me check that first.
Alyssa, like, paying attention to the child that they're taking care of. Yeah, that's a pretty good one.
Yeah. So, anyway, we got to rank this so we can get out of here. Stop thinking about this episode till Monday. Okay, so I'm looking at the bottom part of the list, right? Because I don't think this is a good one.
I think that's fair.
The last couple are kind of hovering around the 23 to 25 area. The last episode, I think, was... Taming of the Zords?
Yeah, and that's 25.
That's 25. Is it better than that?
I don't know.
I mean, this one didn't have any weird pet play stuff.
That's true.
So I don't know if that's a good or bad thing.
I think that's more of a good thing.
Well, you know, some people might argue otherwise.
Well, now I can't remember anything else from that episode.
Except for Good Kitty.
No. Bad Kitty.
I just like when I say that, how you, like, I can see just, your spine compact.
It's so icky. It's just like... It's not to be on a kid's show.
No, probably not.
Calling a human woman a good kitty is not a children's show thing.
No. No, probably not. All right, so...
Now I hate that episode, so I think this is better than that.
Okay, so above Taming of the Zords, Unfinished Business, that was when Zenaku came back.
I don't think it's better than that.
Okay.
I know I didn't love that episode because it was very, like, Merrick heavy.
Yeah, it was Merrick heavy, and it was like, Zenaku's like, yeah, without Merrick, I'm so much stronger. I gotta get Merrick back up in here. Which is confusing. But less confusing than I think this episode. So I think below Unfinished Business, above Taming of the Zords.
Yeah.
All right, coming in, the new number 25, Monitoring Earth.
Every episode going forward is gonna be the new 25.
Seems like it's been that way for a bit, except for Team Carnival, which was pretty dope. All right, well, next episode is... I have it pulled up. Hold on. Next episode is called The Soul of Humanity.
Oh, Lord.
So pretty excited. I didn't see even a picture because Netflix didn't show one to me this time. It was just like, I'm going to show the next episode now. There was like, do you want to watch the credits or not? And then it... just went to the next episode and skipped the intro.
It does this weird thing now. I don't know if I had the thumbnail or not. I didn't look. But instead of having like the timer on like the circle countdown, there's like a little icon that's like next episode. And that fills up like a loading bar. And I feel like it's twice as fast.
Way quicker for sure.
So I was just like, I got to get out of here. I don't want the next one to play yet.
Yeah, so I didn't see anything about the next episode. But apparently it's called The Soul of Humanity. And we'll talk about that on Monday. But until then...
May the power protect you.
Gordon,
I am too.
Sometimes you just got the drops. I've been kind of droppy lately, too.
It's because I work at fucking Walmart, which is a moisture vacuum, and so my hands are just slick
yeah.
all the time.